This is the Life Truth Network. On October the 2nd, 2016, I was ordained to preach the gospel. The first minister to lay on hands was my father. He gave me two principles: preach the truth and love your people. With those principles in mind, I preach the word. I'm Nathan Caldwell, and this is Protectors of the Book. Turn to Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11. We'll start with verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you hence altogether. Speak now on the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver, jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be any like it any more. But against the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between Egypt and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. We ask for your help. Help my words. Help our hearts. Help this place be focused on you and your message, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. In the 10 plagues of Egypt, the worst plague was this one. In the history of the world, there has not been a worse plague than sin. Both end in death. However, sin ends in a worse kind of death. Sin ends in a spiritual death. Time and time again, Pharaoh had ignored the command of God and refused to humble himself. From the very beginning, what did Pharaoh say? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? And from that point on, he had always been. Oh, there were a few times where he supposedly admitted his wrongdoing, but he never let the children go. Pharaoh would not surrender to the will of God. Pharaoh would stay in sin. Those still entrenched in sin are in open rebellion against the God who made them. Indeed, the God who loves them and wants to save them. The Bible says God is not willing that anybody perishes, but God's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Now, are all going to do that? No, because people are in open rebellion against the God of creation, the only God there is. Just like Pharaoh was, and just like back then, the problem still today is sin. And one of the things sin brings is a penalty. And the penalty of sin is death. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." As we look at verse 5, "And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall there be like it any more." Sin brings death. And just like in all of Egypt, this plague was flowing. In all of Egypt, death was going to be walking through, or the however you want to say it. The Lord was going to be looking for those who had not done what He's about to tell Israel to do. All the firstborn, from the richest to the poorest, it didn't matter. They were all condemned. And folks, it's the same way with sin. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter where you live. It don't matter. We are still affected by sin. And without Jesus Christ, we will still experience death. Except Egypt had it bad, but sin has an eternal penalty. And it's far worse than what Egypt had to deal with. We also see that in verse 9, God again reminds Moses of why He's doing this. "Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt." They were not going to forget God when He was done. This would be known. We have the problem. We have the penalty. But let's look at the substitution. In Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Folks, from this point, Israel would never be the same. This was the point that changed everything. Verse 3, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it." The death of this lamb would signify the death of Jesus Christ later on. They were to put blood on the side posts and on the top. And in my mind, when I connect, and I don't know if this is part of what God was doing, I don't know, but in my mind, I see the connection of the two side posts and the top. And when you connect them, I see the cross. I don't know if that's what God was doing. In my mind, that's what I see. Now, I know also sometimes we have to realize that many of the Israelites lived in tents. So that may not have worked quite that way. But what we do see is that the lamb was a sacrifice for the people. And it was signifying Christ, who would sacrifice His life for us many, many years later. But like Israel, remember what He said. He said, "This is the first day of the first month in your new calendar. From this point on, nothing would ever be the same. And when a person trusts Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, His resurrection, that person's life too is never the same. Verse 8 says, they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, nor sodden at all, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with pertinence thereof, and you shall let nothing of it remain until morning, and that which remains of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. He says, nothing is going to be left. He said, if any you've got any leftovers, you burn them. Verse 11 says, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. First of all, he told them, when you eat this Passover, you better be ready to go. There was a sense of urgency there. He said, this time we're leaving. You know, all the other times Pharaoh said, you can go, you can go. But this time, I want you to notice something. Somebody's seen it. Pharaoh hadn't said anything yet. Moses said, we're going. That tells me that God's the one that was in control of it all the time. When I see the blood. See, that's why I chose that song this morning. Because when God sees, just like when that angel saw the blood on the doorpost and on the top, just like God saw that, and He passed over, when God sees the blood of Jesus Christ on our hearts, what I mean is when God sees we have accepted Jesus' sacrifice and trust for us, called upon the name of the Lord, if you will, then when judgment comes, He will pass over us. This similarity was intentional. Every sacrifice in the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. All of the lambs that were sacrificed, all of the animals that were slain for the remission of sins, every one of them pointed to Jesus Christ and what He would do on the cross of Calvary many years later. Let's look at verse 24 of chapter 12. Skip forward a little bit. It says, and ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as He has promised, that you will keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you will say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when He smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. He said, I want you to tell your children, as they grow up, Max and True, I want you to know. Max, look at me, buddy. I want you to know why we go to church. We go to church because Jesus Christ came down here, God in the flesh, in the form of a man, and died for us. Now I know you've already trusted Christ. I'm not denying that. But I want you to know that's why we go to church, is to worship the God who did that for us and then rose from the dead. And when you, if you ever get married and have kids, if your kids ever say, hey, why do we have to go to church? I want you to remember that. That's why we go. People need to tell their kids when their kids or their grandkids or their great-grandkids or their nephews or their nieces say, hey, why do we have to go to church? Because God in heaven saw my sin and decided instead of sending me to hell, he's going to do something about it. And he sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sin and then raised from the dead. That's why I go to church, to serve the God who did that. Verse 28 says, the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. So whatever the Lord told Moses and Aaron to do, and Moses and Aaron told the children of Israel, that is what they did. And it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. God did exactly what he said he was going to do. There were no exceptions. The only exception was if the blood was applied on the doorpost, because the substitution for them was made there. That was the only exception that was made. Verse 30 says, Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take all your flocks, your herds, as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land with haste. For they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. First thing I want us to notice here in these few verses is that Pharaoh didn't offer a compromise this time. Just exactly what God wanted, God got it. When it says they spoiled the Egyptians, I don't know how other translations translate that, but I know what they mean when they say it. There used to be a phrase called the spoils of war. Maybe it's still a phrase today. It probably is. What it means is when you go up against a people and you defeat them, you get their treasure. Basically, when it said that they spoiled the Egyptians, what it's saying is the Egyptians voluntarily gave them their treasure and they walked out with it. Just like God said would happen back in chapter 3, verse 21. Just exactly as God said it would happen. The worst plague of all is sin. And it's fatal, both physically and spiritually. But there is a solution. The precious blood of Jesus shed for us at Calvary. Folks, sin is not only fatal, it's universal. There isn't a person alive on this planet that doesn't have it. But there's a solution. And the solution is universal in this sense that it works on whosoever will come. There is not a person that it doesn't work on. You know, there's some medicines that works on some people but won't work on other people. But the cure for sin works on everyone.